This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakumullah. Another beautiful Wednesday evening and another one of our majalis of ilm, majalis of knowledge. Those majalis that the angels come to, subhanallah. Those majalis that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever remembers Allah in a gathering, then Allah will remember him in a gathering better than the gathering of this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those. Brothers and sisters, we continue in our series. What's the series? The 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. This great Shafi'i scholar, this alim, this muhaddith, this faqih, this usuli, he put together these 42 ahadith. Why selected these special 42? Because as he mentions, the deen revolves around these 42 ahadith, subhanallah. You understand them? Then bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you have gone a long way in understanding the religion of al-Islam. We've been through hadith number 1, walhamdulillah, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Verily, actions are dependent upon the matter of intention, subhanallah. And how great that is. We've learnt how many a times a massive deed is made minuscule due to the corrupt intention, due to an impure intention. And the opposite, subhanallah, how many a times a small tiny act of goodness is magnified due to its pure intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, let us purify our intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then hadith number 2, also reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this is the famous hadith of what? The famous hadith of Jibreel, brothers and sisters. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, tonight we will conclude this hadith. Tonight we will finish our discussion pertaining to this hadith, insha'Allah. He mentions, one day we were seated with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a strange man entered. His clothes were exceptionally white. His hair was very dark, very black. There was no dust upon him. And he says, O Muhammad, can I come forward from the back of the masjid? He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah. He never said, Ya Habiballah. He said, O Muhammad. He came forward. Sahaba was shocked. Who is this man? Look at his attitude. He sits in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, takes his hands, puts them on the knees or the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he says, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam listed the 5 pillars of al-Islam, which we will discuss in the 3rd hadith from the 42, insha'Allah. Then he asks, أخبرني عن الإيمان. Tell me about Iman. Our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam listed the 6 pillars of Iman, and we've been through every one of them in great detail, brothers and sisters. أن تؤمن بالله, to believe in Allah. أن تؤمن بالله وملائكه, and in His angels. وكتبه, in His books. وَرُسُلِ, in His messengers. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, the final day, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, and to believe in the predestination, the good of it and the evil of it. And that's where we had ended off our discussion بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We've now covered 5 of those 6 pillars of Al-Iman. We went into the great detail, walhamdulillah, with regards to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 3 types of tawheed: Uluhiyya, Rububiyya, and Asma wa Sifat, Allah's names and attributes, Allah's oneness, uniqueness of lordship. He is the one who created. He is the one who provides. He is the one who sustains. And uluhiyya, where we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We discussed the matter pertaining to the angels, great detail, walhamdulillah. We had also gone through the issue of the books which were revealed. And in our previous majlis, we discussed the messengers. We spoke about the number of messengers, plus minus 315 rusul. As for anbiya, as for prophets, then they were plus minus 124,000, subhanallah. Many of them mentioned in the Noble Quran. How many in the Quran? 25 mentioned in the Noble Quran. We found that there's debate with regards to some, Dhul Qarnain, Tubba, Khidr. There's debate whether they were from amongst the anbiya or not. Four of those 25 mentioned in the Quran are from the Arabs, Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, and our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also discussed, one might say, the job profile of any Rasul, any Nabi. They need to pass on the clear message, da'wah to Allah. They're not calling to themselves. They're not calling to the worship of themselves. They were calling to Allah. They brought people glad tidings. They gave people hope, subhanallah. When people were in that rut, when people were in that darkness, they showed them that there is a silver lining. They gave them hope. They also showed the people and put forward to the people purification of the nafs, purification of the soul, corrected the incorrect beliefs of the people and practices. They established the proof upon the people. They were leaders. They were leaders at the end of the day. They were leaders of the ummah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we also discussed whether there were any females who were from amongst the anbiya. And you had Imam Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Hazm, Abu al-Hasan Al-Ash'ari. They had an opinion that the mother of Musa, some of them said that Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, that she was from amongst the anbiya. Some said Hawa, some said Sarah, some said Hajar. And there's a small amount of debate there. Whereas 99.9% of the ulama of the ummah state, no, rather the anbiya are from the men. Allah mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي. We've not sent before you except men who we have revealed to. Think about it, brothers and sisters. If, for example, you had a female who was a Nabi, now she needs to go out and she needs to da'wah. Now, what about the rights of her husband? What if he says, no, you can't? What goes on there? What happens when she's in her menses? What happens when she's giving birth? What happens when she's in nifas? What happens when she's pregnant? Allahu musta'an. Rather, they were the mothers of the anbiya. Even Isa alayhi salam, miracle birth, no father, but he still had a mother, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we discuss special qualities of the anbiya, Allah's protection over them. And they were prone to human emotions. They were human beings, as mentioned in the Noble Quran. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I am a human being like you people. What's the difference? Revelation comes to me. In fact, you had many of the people, they refused to believe in the anbiya because they said, you people are human beings. Rather, Allah should have sent some other creation to do this noble work of da'wah. Allah should have maybe sent angels, etc. We find Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. Surah Bani Israel, verse number 95. Allah mentions, if there were angels walking the earth, then we would have sent angels to do the da'wah. But there's human beings walking the earth, so the Rasul, the Anbiya, had to be from the human beings. Otherwise, what would we say? We would say, well, those Anbiya, they were angels, we can't really follow them. We are human beings, subhanallah. We also find in the Noble Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. That the criminals, they used to say to one another, if you people follow these human beings here, then you will be misguided. Who do they mean by those human beings? They mean the anbiya. They were telling their cronies and their friends and their henchmen, if you follow these people here, these human beings, these anbiya, then you will be misguided, subhanallah. So they did not follow the anbiya. One reason amongst the many, that they said they were human beings and they're not worthy of our following. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, were the anbiya prone to human emotion? Yes, they would get frightened at times, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when those guests had come, he was a bit perturbed, he was a bit afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا تَصِلُوا إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفًا. Ibrahim noticed that they were not eating that food, and so he was a bit perturbed. We find Musa alayhi salam, when he was with Khidr, you know, he got a bit impatient. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعْيَ صَبْرًا, Khidr says to him, have I not told you that you will not be able to have patience with me? Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam, when he saw the people worshipping the ijl, the calf, he got very angry. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that time he performed two rakahs of salah, and he had forgotten the other two rakahs. And then the sahaba corrected him. Adam alayhi salam, he had forgotten that he had given from his age, from his lifespan, certain number of years to Dawood alayhi salam. So they were prone to these human emotions. They also had miracles, mashallah. The camel of Salih alayhi salam, the stick of Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the living miracle, the noble Quran, the splitting of the moon, increasing the amount of food and water. Walhamdulillah. So those were the mu'jizat of the Anbiya. And if the ordinary human being, ordinary individual, he has like a miracle, what we call this? We call this a karama. For the Anbiya, it's called a mu'jiza. For the non-Anbiya, we call this a karama. And Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we accept that, you know, pious individuals, etc., you know, these karama can take place. And many have been recorded. Walhamdulillah. What's the greatest miracle? What is the greatest miracle for any one of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The ulama, they state, أَعْظَمُ الْكَرَامَ لُزُومْ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. The greatest miracle is not flying in the air. The greatest miracle is not walking upside down or something. The greatest miracle is not making water come out of your fingers. The greatest miracle for any ummati is that he is upon the straight path and he is firm upon that straight path. He is firm upon that اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, also part of the credibility of the Anbiya, that they would not take money from the people. They were not there to make any wealth or anything like that. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Also Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَيَا قُومِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. I'm not asking you people for money. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, they were the best of human beings. يوم الآخر, the final day. We also touched on that. We said it's called يوم القيامة. It's called the reality. It's called the event. It's called the day of judgment. It's called the final day. Many, many names. The Arabs usually, when something's great, they give it many, many names. And many events related to Yawm Al-Qiyamah. There's the pond of Kawthar, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the opportunity of drinking from the pond of Kawthar, that pond of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's the Shafa'ah, intercession of the Anbiya, intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's the weighing of the books. There's the weighing of our deeds. There's the sirat that we will have to cross, subhanallah. There's entry into paradise, entry into hal. Allahu musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that easy for us, brothers and sisters. We now move on to the sixth pillar of Iman. And as was mentioned, we want to, inshallah, conclude this hadith tonight. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And to believe in the predestination, the good of it and the evil of it. The good and the evil thereof. Brothers and sisters, super important. The reason for this hadith coming about and being mentioned by Abdullah ibn Umar was because two individuals had come to him from Basra. This is now during the time of the Tabi'een, right? Years after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. So these two individuals come from Basra and they say that we have some questions, O Abdullah ibn Umar. We're coming from a place and there are some who are talking about this qadr. There are some who do not accept this taqdeer. They do not accept that, you know, everything's already been set out. They do not accept that Allah knows, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow and this is all part of the plan. This has already been set out. They deny qadr. And so then Abdullah ibn Umar said, well, you tell them they are far from me and I am far from them. And they will not, their deeds will not be accepted unless they believe in these matters. And then he narrates, my father said, and such occurred. One day a man had come and he asked these questions. And so he mentions the full hadith of Jibreel. So I repeat, this is what we call sabab wurud. The reason why the companion brought up the hadith. The reason why the companion remembered this hadith. What's the incident? Two people came and they said, we have some question with regards to people from Basra who deny the Qadr. So Abdullah ibn Umar remembered this hadith here, or he remembered it from his father, and so he mentioned it. Subhanallah. So the main reason behind the narration of this hadith was to do with the matter of Qadr. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this qadr? This is the predestination. Predestination. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions and he talks about this matter of the taqdeer. And this is from the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Allah knows the future. Allah has written down this future. Allah has written it all down on the Lawh Mahfuz, in the Lawh Mahfuz. So number one, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say that, you know what, this is not part of the taqdeer, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, nobody knows, and even Allah doesn't know, subhanallah, then you are denying knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means we have a creator who doesn't know. But isn't Allah al-Alim? Isn't Allah all-knowing? So number one, the belief in qadr entails Allah's knowledge, past, present, future. If something was going to happen, had it happened, why wouldn't it happen? If it took place, how it would take place, even if it never took place. Allah knows all options, everything. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Number two, then the writing down of this taqdeer, of this predestination in the Lawh Mahfuz. Then number three, the mashia, Allah willed for it to occur. Allah willed for you to sit and listen to this program here. Allah willed for us to be here and be present and talk, etc. Allah willed for that to occur. And number four, that Allah created that. Allah, you know, allowed for that to take, for that to take place. Someone might say, oh, khair and barakah, you know, no problem, you know, the taqdeer, the good. But what about evil? So Allah willed for the tsunami. Allah willed for the lightning to strike that kid. Allah willed for this individual to rape that person and this and that. What about all of this evil? And this question of evil, subhanAllah, has perplexed philosophers from the beginning of time. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, now when we talk about the predestination and the evil of it, you're going to, you know, you spoke a lie and all of this here. This is in respect to the human being. This is evil in respect to the human being and not in respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evil is a result of the human's what? Ignorance, his wrongdoing, his zulm, his sin. That evil was a result of all of that. However, it was allowed and brought into being by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he slapped his friend, when he stole something, right? This was a result of his wrong action, of his zulm, of his oppression. That it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the rule that this is not supposed to take place, you're not supposed to do this, etc. But he was oppressive, and this man, he went ahead and he did it. Yes. Allah, however, allowed and brought it into being. So we say that the evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even this act, it has wisdom in it. And thus it's not pure evil. What do you mean by that? It has some wisdom? The guy, he slapped his friend. It has some wisdom in it? Yes, there's wisdom in that. And we say that there's no such thing as pure evil. Even the creation of Iblis, there was wisdom in that, subhanallah. Wisdom in that this is going to be a test upon mankind. There's going to be the battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. There's wisdom behind all of that, subhanAllah. As is mentioned in the hadith, وَشَرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, and evil is not attributed to you. Evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also find in the Noble Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that the fasad has spread in the land and in the ocean, etc., due to what people earn with their own hands, so that they might taste, you know, that which they've earned with their own hands, so that they might repent. They might, you know, take some reflection. They might turn around. They might make tawbah. So, subhanAllah, this brother, he fell into zina. Right? Evil, wrong. He shouldn't have done that, yes. But someone might say, well, you know, this can't be. How can Allah will for somebody to fall into zina? How can this be in the taqdeer? Well, if you say that's not part of taqdeer, then number one, you're denying that Allah knows. And you have a bigger problem. You're running from the fire and you're jumping into the pot. You're running from the pot and you're jumping into the fire. Allahu musta'an. And no doubt, brothers and sisters, if you're going to dig deep, deep, deep into the matter of taqdeer, you know, you're going to reach some point where it's going to be difficult for you. And that's why there's some point in this taqdeer matter that you have to just say, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. That there's some part of it that you never really gonna completely, completely understand. But subhanAllah, we find, for example, we said there's no such thing as pure evil. Because if there is some positive that is derived from it, then it's not pure evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom and His knowledge precludes the existence of pure evil. That there has to be some wisdom. This father, he killed his own infant son, subhanAllah. And then he went to jail. How many people watched this on news? How many people said, whoa, this is bad? How many schools had programs, you know, with regards to abuse of kids? And, you know, they had these awareness programs, etc. So there was good that occurred due to the action of that individual. And because that individual had the choice, he is responsible for his actions. He had the choice. He didn't have to kill his kid. He chose to do that. And thus, he will be responsible for what he had chosen. Some fawaid, some benefits in this belief in predestination. If one firmly believes that everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is under the control of Allah, then your rububiyyah is in order. Your tawheed ar-rububiyyah with regards to Allah is in order. Who creates Allah? Who gives Allah? Who gives risk? Who takes? Who provides? Who sustains? Allah, Allah, Allah. Subhanallah. And thus, when it comes to asking, when it comes to worship, when it comes to your tawheed uluhiyyah, that's also going to be in order. Because there's no need to go anywhere else. Who gives? Allah gives. Who's most merciful? Allah. Who's the one whose punishment is most severe? Allah. Who's the one who provides? Allah. Who's the one who gives life? Allah. Who's the one who can cure me? Allah. So then, who do you ask? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, your reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While obviously you make use of the asbab, you make use of the means, you make use of the cause and effects. You know that story of that man in front of the Kaaba, holding the curtain of the Kaaba, crying, Ya Allah, grant me pious children. A scholar walked past and asked him, you know, are you married? He says, no. So, brother, you are like 45 years old and you're crying, MashaAllah, you want pious children. They're not just going to fall from the sky, right? You need to obviously make use of the means. You need to get married. You need to be with the woman, etc. Jayid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also set out certain cause and effects. Sitting on your musalla and waiting for money to fall, there's no cause like that. The effect is not going to happen. Rather, you need to go out. You need to go out and you need to seek your livelihood. Also, belief in this taqdeer, one does not become boastful or arrogant. One doesn't say, I'm a self-made man. Brother, who gave you all of this? Allah gave you all of this, subhanAllah. Self-made man, Allahu musta'an. Similarly, one does not become super depressed and despondent, you know, when things don't go your way. Rather, this is, you know, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed. Whatever is meant for you will never miss you. Whatever is not meant for you will never come to you. If everyone got together to benefit you, they will not benefit you except with the permission of Allah. If they all got together and they wanted to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives you strength. It gives you courage, brothers and sisters. And if one does not believe in this predestination in taqdeer, then one believes that, you know, everything is just controlled, by myself. And, you know, I just need to be a selfish individual. You know, I just need to, you know, the rat race, it just needs to be cutthroat. And the survivor, you know, is the jungle, the survival of the fittest, and you just try all means necessary to do everyone else down and make yourself a triumphant. Allahu musta'an. Imagine what, how much of corruption that would lead to. So if one does not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-wise, important, the all-wise is in control of all matters, then either you'll just give up, or you'll feel that there's no hope, life is very unfair, or you'll be very, very selfish, subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, you know, he even talks about that, Brother Ahmed, he fell into zina, he was on drugs, he did some evil, the sister, she was backbiting somebody, she was talking bad about someone, etc., etc. And, you know, you later realized your mistake. You later realized your mistake, and you made amends. You turned to Allah and you made sincere tawbah. Oh Allah, forgive me for that sin. Oh Allah, I'm really embarrassed for what I've done, etc. Now, after you've made tawbah, then somebody comes to you and they say, oh, you know, you've fallen into zina. You had done this zina. You are the one who 20 years ago had taken drugs. You are the female who 3 years ago, you know, was gossiping, etc., etc. Now, when this person is coming to you and, you know, rubbing it in your face, you've already cleared yourself of that. Between you and Allah, you know, it's over now. And this person is just coming and rubbing it in your face. And then you can make use of the qadr argument. How? You can say, brother, you know what, just be quiet. This zina that I fell in, well, that was something Allah wrote for me. There was no way that I could have avoided it. You know, khalas, leave it at that. So you can use the taqdeer matter card as like an excuse. When you've completely made tawbah from it, you're not going back to it, and somebody is rubbing it in your face. Like, for example, Musa alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam met with Adam and he says, you know, you are the one who took us out of paradise and this and that, etc., etc. And so Adam alayhi salam, he's obviously made complete tawbah from this, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, etc. So he says to Musa, you want to blame me for something which Allah had already written upon me? So the ulama state here that, you know, you don't generally say, I'm stealing here, well, this Allah wrote for me. I did this wrong, Allah wrote this for me. No, you don't do that. But if you've done some wrong, and now somebody comes along after you've made sincere tawbah, and they want to rub it in your face, and they want to bring it up, and they want to do this, then you can use the taqdeer card as Adam alayhi salam had done so. But what is incorrect is somebody steals and he says, you know what, Allah wrote this for me. And he goes and robs and he says, Allah wrote this for me. And he says, he cheats and he says, Allah wrote this for me. As had occurred with someone in the past when he had stolen, he says, Allah wrote this for me. Allah's decree. So the scholars, they said, well, you know, it's also part of the decree that we will have to chop off your hands. Subhanallah. That's the decree of Allah upon us that we need to chop off your hands. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, after the six pillars of Iman were mentioned, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam now ending off with the matter of the Qadr. Then Jibreel says, قَالَ صَدَقْتْ, you have spoken the truth. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُ. We were amazed. He asks questions and then he says, you have spoken the truth. Subhanallah. Jibreel asking questions and then he says, Ya Rasulullah, you've spoken the truth. Subhanallah. We move on. The next question is, what is Ihsan? Ihsan, subhanallah. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We take a short ad break and when we return, we continue. حَيَّاكُمُ اللَّهِ.